Welcome to another edition of the weekly daily fantasy football podcast. I am your host, Keith Fleming. With me, as always, my main man, Joe Matz. Joe, what's going on?
I just completed a 14-hour drive yesterday. So
ouch.
Excited to have that out of the way so I can just relax and catch up on sleep.
That sounds like one of the worst experiences you can have. I hate being stuck in a car, on an airplane. I've flown to Europe, but I've never, at least not in my adult life, driven more than like 6-7 hours in a day. And I mean, once you reach like 3-4, it's awful anyway. I figured you were going to say that you're celebrating. For those that listened to the podcast last week, we merged with the Backdoor Cover. And our gambling expert and Joe Matz's mortal enemy, Alan, a.k.a. Actively Lazy. And Joe's picks were 3-3. Me and Alan's picks, 1-5. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, I'm just glad I hit 500 and then mildly upset with myself.
I was going to say, if you didn't change a pick after the fact, you would have been 4-2.
Yeah. And then the Browns, I wanted to pick the Browns so bad. That's what my gut was telling me. And then, but the COVID, it was just like, oh, it's just too much to overcome. So I'm a little upset about that one. But yeah, that Washington, my swapping my pick, because I had no idea that a Henneke was better than Alex Smith. So
he was
it turned out to be a mistake.
He really was. And just Tomlin, you know, we touched this briefly in the group this week. Those that say he's overrated as a head coach, I'm starting to see some merit to it.
I always go back and forth on Tomlin because I think he's a good coach. I think like last year made that clear where he kept them in it with just the worst quarterback play in the league. But I mean, there's no doubt that he's laid some big eggs over the years with those teams.
They seem to be one of those teams that they always beat the teams they're supposed to. They just seem to never beat the teams that are either equal or more talented to them.
But it was like any time they played the Patriots in the playoffs, I feel like. Did they ever beat the Patriots in the playoffs? I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure the years that they got to the Super Bowl, the Patriots were eliminated by like the Ravens. I think the Ravens both years. But
yeah, the Ravens are the ones who have the Patriots number, and the Steelers just make excuses all the time as they get demolished again.
It's insane. So for those that are just now listening, I don't know what the hell you've been doing with the way our plays have been this year, but typically we give 3 plays at each position. We break them down by an expensive tier, middle tier, and bargain tier. With the playoffs, last week we did give 3 picks, I think, at like running back and receiver and 2 at everywhere else. This week is going to be the last week that we actually give 2 picks each at every position. Starting next week for the last 2 weeks of the season, we're going to build basically an optimal lineup each and, you know, do that for the podcast. Cause I just think that, you know, that's more, fair or interesting, but you know, last week, even with, you know, a smaller group of players, I was really impressed with what we did. The quarterback position, we just nailed. I gave Josh Allen and Ben Roethlisberger at 7,500 and 6,100. They were first and second in points scored by quarterback, 37.04 for Big Ben, 35.35 for Allen, which I know that Joe 100% co-signed as well. He had Lamar and Breeze. Lamar finished fourth, Breeze ninth. Neither of those guys would have killed you at the price. Breeze at 5,700, 18 points. Lamar at 8,028.76. The running backs, it felt like outside of your great Akers pick, we didn't really nail those. But, like, looking at it, Dobbins was 8th. And, I mean, again, you got to remember that there was 12 running backs playing last week. That's just starters, not including the backups. Right. McKissick, he scored 9.3. So did Hines at 4,700 and 4,900. They tied for 10th. Again, Dobbins had 10.8 at 6,700. Kamara, which underperformed for Kamara, but he got 19.6 points. That's 5th in running backs. I think it was like 10th overall. But the Akers play at 5,100. Well done, Joe. That was the number one running back. So, again, we had the number one running back, number one quarterback. He scored 28.6 points. And at the receivers, you had Corey Davis. We'll get to John Brown in a second with my flex. They both got donuts, which that doesn't help. But our other 3 picks were good. I mean, Robinson at 6,600, he disappointed for me, 11.5 points. He was 24th in receivers. But other than that, we said you had to have Diggs, 27.8 points. We both had him. He was second in receivers. And Marquise Brown, who we both had as well, for 5,400, 22.8 points. That's six by receivers. The tight ends, we did really good. Your Ebron pick at 4,000 was great. He was second in tight ends, 19.2 points. Cook didn't kill us at 4,600, 8 points, finished ninth. So he's in that bottom third. And then Logan Thomas, we talked about it, 12.4 points, 4,900. He's fourth in tight ends. That was a very good play. Our flexes, I had Chubb, which was, I still don't understand his price, at 6,700. He scored 24.5 points. That was six among non-quarterback position players. Again, John Brown had a goose egg. Jonathan Taylor, 7,900, 16.4 points. He was 22nd in positional points. That wasn't, you know, a great play. But the Gabriel Davis was a great call. He, you know, for $4,000, you could have got 12.5 points. He was 31st in positional points. I think he was like 15th or 14th in the receiver. And again, you basically
some nice catches in that game.
Absolutely. I mean, you got more points than him for Allen Robinson. You know, he's one of my receivers at 6,600. The defenses was the one thing we struggled in. We both had the Seahawks, who they looked awful. They scored 3 points at 2,600. I had the Bucks at 3,400. They scored 4 points. They were seventh. And you had the Saints at 3,800, 5 points, six in defenses. So I don't want to speak for you, but I think that going into this week, again, I just really looked at, okay, what do I think the game script's going to be? Not so much of attacking a unit, unless it's just really bad. And there's a few that I am going to attack. And then more importantly, who do I trust, right? Mm-hmm. Is that kind of what you were thinking?
I was really just kind of looking at each game and trying to do my best guess, well, as to how it'll play out, and then weighing. There's a few games where there's two games where I could really see it going either way. There's one game that I'm kind of betting on being more of a defensive battle. And so then I really favored the fourth game, which is the game I expect to just be a shootout. So I favored that one. And I think the one I have as a defensive game.
Don't leave
I think,
the suspense in us. Let's hear. What's the defense and what's the scoring one?
Well, the defense one, the as we'll get to in my defensive picks, is Packers Rams.
Yep.
I think that Rams defense is fantastic. I think whatever their quarterback situation is, I think they're going to struggle to move the ball against Green Bay. Obviously, you know, there's always the chance Rodgers and Adams can go off any given week, but I think that's a tough game all around for the offenses.
Don't you think it's a better chance Rodgers goes off and they kind of hold Adams in check than it is both of them go off? Because, I mean, not only are you sure, I'm sure Ramsey's going to be on Adams a good bit.
Yeah.
And then the Rams are just going to, I mean, if I was any defense, especially one at that level, goal number one would be you can throw it to anybody but Adams.
No, I'm with you. Because if Adams has a big game, that means Rodgers is probably already having a good game.
Right.
And Rodgers can do it without Adams. And especially when we look at the prices going here, I think there's an argument to play Rodgers. I don't think there's a very good argument to play Adams this week. And then the offensive game is Chiefs-Browns, which, you know, I don't know if people remember this, but Mayfield and Mahomes had a game in college.
Oh, what a game.
Oklahoma-Texas Tech.
I remember.
Final in that game, 66-59 Oklahoma. They each threw for over 500 yards and at least five touchdowns. Now, obviously, don't expect that this week, but I mean, it's a similar vibe, though. Just I don't think either defense is going to have a lot of success stopping the offenses. There's a chance it could just be a Chiefs blowout all around, but Baker and Co. can put up some points in this game, too. So that's the one where, dang, I think like half of my plays are from that game.
I mean, think about it. The Browns have quietly, I think it when they're full offensive weapons, because you can't count the Jets game where obviously they didn't have any receivers. I believe it's like three out of their last five games have just been flat-out shootouts. We remember the game against Baltimore, obviously the game against Pittsburgh last week. But that's actually a good segue into our quarterbacks, who we both have the same two guys. And, you know, most weeks we try to, you know, if nothing else, have a contrarian pick. In a lot of positions, if we don't, you know, if we both, our favorite guys, you know, certain guy, our second favorite guy. But this week, there's not enough teams. I mean, there's only eight teams to choose from. I told Joe, I really want us to go with our gut. It's going to be great to see, you know, how these players do, because we have quite a few that we have the same. I'll start with Mahomes, and then I'll let you start with Baker, and we can kind of just discuss these guys. I'm totally on with what Joe is talking about. I mean, the Browns-Chiefs game is the most likely to be a shootout. Remember the Chiefs games last year outside of the Niners game? All three of them were just complete shootouts, and that was in all three of them. Remember, Kansas City fell behind, but Mahomes scored 20 or more points in 14 of the 15 games he started, 25 or more in 8 of the 15. You're getting the best quarterback in the league. He averaged 28 points per game on a team that struggled running the ball all season and might be without their best back this week. And then the Browns' weakness is without a doubt on defense, the pass. Since week 7, including two games in terrible weather, I think it was against the Raiders and the Texans, they've given up 21 touchdowns in those 11 games. And again, two of those were in a basically wind and rainstorm, which only one passing touchdown. So that's really 20 touchdowns in 9 games. They've had 3 games where they've given up over 400 yards through the air. 11 of their 17 games, they've given up 2 or more touchdowns to wide receivers, or excuse me, passing touchdown. They've only had 1 game against a Pro Bowl quarterback this year. That was in a windstorm versus the Texans. So they've not had a great slate of games against like good quarterbacks. They've played a lot of bad quarterbacks, and they've still given up 34 touchdowns on the season. They're now facing, again, unquestionably, the best quarterback in football. Coming off of 2 weeks of rest, Andy Reid has had 2 weeks to come up with plays. I don't see any way Mahomes doesn't have a big game. Just remember that in his 5 career starts in the playoffs, Mahomes has thrown for 1,474 yards, 13 touchdowns, 2 picks. He's only $8,000. I mean, that's slightly more than Jackson and Allen. Who would you rather have here? Would you rather have Allen, who, you know, yes, he had a good first game, but who knows? Or would you rather have Jackson, who before last week had had 2 bad playoff performances? Or would you rather have a guy that's won an MVP, he's a defending Super Bowl MVP, he's got all of his weapons, he's rested. You look at Brady and Rodgers, they're significantly cheaper, but they have much tougher matchups. I mean, unless your goal is to be contrarian, I don't know how you can not have Mahomes at quarterback. And you can save money elsewhere. He is not only the quarterback I'm going to have in basically all my lineups, he is, in my opinion, the number one play you have to have this week.
I mean, yeah, I'm with you. You look at it, the 2 best quarterbacks in the NFL this year were Mahomes and Rodgers. And those are probably the 2 best offenses. Good. Buffalo may be thrown in there too. But Rodgers is playing the best defense in the NFL, especially, I think, pass defense. Allen's got a Ravens defense that I think they'll put up points on, but it's a defense that is solid just all the way through.
They've been frisky lately, too.
And then you've got Mahomes, who's against the worst defense that's left. I mean, I think they should probably get Denzel Ward back this week, which obviously helps. So maybe they won't get torched by Tyreek Hill as much as they would have otherwise.
Oh, I think they will.
Yeah, I don't think there's like a bad receiving play on the Chiefs this week, just because I think this is such a big matchup. And then, yeah, you talked about how Cleveland really has been bad except for when they've been playing in wind and rainstorms. I mean, the last 3 weeks they gave up multiple passing touchdowns to Darnold, Rudolph, and then Big Ben threw 4 picks, but he had 4 touchdowns and 500 yards. If he wasn't turning the ball over, they were moving the ball.
I think if they go for it on that 4th and 1 or 2 early in the fourth, like I think it was the first play of the fourth quarter, they might have came back and won that game. And they were down 13 with the ball at midfield.
Which, again, great coaching, Mike Tomlin. But one of my favorite things, too, in researching this game was that per PFF, the Chiefs are 5th in pressure rate allowed, and the Browns are 24th. In pressuring opposing QBs. So he's going to have time. All you got to do is double Myles Garrett. You'll have time. And if Patrick Mahomes has time, then it's over.
I just think, and I'm,
this is a 30 plus point game for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. And he's $8,000 because of the playoffs. So you're going to be able to get him for $8,000. We're going to give you some guys that are cheap. Both my running backs are lower price guys. I really believe in taking either Mahomes and Kelce, Mahomes and Hill, and then building your lineup around that. That's going to be like in the $250 single entries. That's what I have right now. We both also have Baker Mayfield. Why don't you go ahead and start on why you like Baker? He's 5,300, by the way.
Yeah, first of all, I like him because he's 5,300, which, I mean, that's just kind of crazy to me. I know, obviously, we're talking about, you know, different amounts and stuff this week. But when I don't understand why Drew Brees is more than Baker Mayfield this week.
I don't either.
You'd be insane to pay an extra $300 for Drew Brees to go up against a better defense. And, again, it's noodle arm Drew Brees now. I mean, he can still get it done. I'm not saying, like, he's good enough with that team where they can win and he could have put up a solid game. But Mayfield's last seven games, he's averaging 22.3 points per game. So that's 1 point less than Tom Brady's averaging on the year. And, again, you're saving $1,000 versus Tom Brady. And Brady's playing the one defense that's absolutely destroyed him this year. So 22 points per game over the last seven. Only one of those games did he go below 16. And again, you're paying $5,300. If he scores 16, hopefully you're making that up somewhere else. 14 touchdowns to one pick in that time. Again, pressure rate. Browns are third in pressure rate. This is a really good offensive line. Just as an aside, four of the top five teams in pressure rate are still in the playoffs right now. And only one team that's below average, which is the Bills.
Don't tell Chase Howell that, the importance of pass rush.
If you can block on passes, that's a huge. And the only team that's below average that's still in it is the Bills, and Josh Allen holds the ball so he can get big plays. So make sure you can block, guys. And then Joel Bitonio's back this week. They just faced the best pass rushing team in the league without their Pro Bowl guard, held up fine. Now, the Chiefs, a decent pass rush, not the Steelers, though. And then the Chiefs have really kind of fallen apart over the second half of the year, their pass defense. Multiple scores, eight straight games, 20 TDs to seven picks in that time, five games over 300 yards. And again, if Mahomes is having the success we expect him to have, there's no reason to think Baker Mayfield's not throwing the ball 35, 40 times, getting that two touchdowns, and at least around 300 yards. So I think this is a 20, maybe 25-plus point game for him, and you're getting him at 5,300.
The analysis is so similar to mine, it's insane. And it only makes me feel better about it. You know, I had the stat about, you know, 14 touchdowns, one pick over the last seven games. What's insane is if you exclude the Jets game, which you really should, because he had no wide receivers, he's averaging 24 points per game over his last six. He's facing a Chiefs team that, again, like you said, I expect the Browns to score a lot, potentially get up early. That's going to force Baker to throw. We saw last week in the Browns versus Steeler game the advantage of having a quarterback in that situation with Big Ben. That if the team gets down big, it's only going to help your fantasy quarterback. I don't think very many people have Big Ben being by far the highest scoring quarterback. When you're down 28 to nothing, that happens. This is the game that I believe out of the four that could potentially be that score, you know, either in the first half or early in the second half. I'm not saying it's likely, but it is potential with, you know, this obviously offense of the Kansas City and the way the Browns offense can struggle sometimes. And then again, the Chiefs secondary since week nine has given up 20 touchdowns in an eight-game span, and they've given up over 300 yards through the air in five of those games. Those quarterbacks, Teddy Bridgewater, Derek Carr, Tua, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, and Justin Herbert. That is not a murder's row of quarterback. Herbert obviously is. Ryan, Brees can't throw. Tua obviously has not been able to throw Lock and Carr. Again, at this price, kind of what you're saying, I think he could easily be a top three or four quarterback this week. Easily. And he's so underpriced. And again, I love Mahomes. He's going to be in most of my lineups. But if I'm going to take a shot and try to play a lineup different this week, and I'm sure I will, it's probably going to be Baker, and then I build up at the other positions.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think you either go big with Mahomes, and like you said, I think if you're doing that, I think you pair him with Kelce or you pair him with Hill, and then I'll just throw in a dart on one of their other receivers too. I mean, all those guys are relatively cheap. I think Hardman's all the way down at like 3,900.
Yes.
I think that could be a fun play to save you some money if you're going big. And then otherwise, roll with Mayfield, stock up everywhere else. And then obviously, I think we'll both agree that you want to pair Mayfield with Austin Hooper.
Absolutely. And I will get into it with Tyreek Hill, but the Browns have been known to have busted coverages this year, particularly in the second half. They've given up a ton of big plays to receivers that you're like, what in the hell? we'll go through that in a minute. Moving on to running back. I know your top tier or your most expensive guy I don't have, so let's start with him.
Yeah, my top guy is Nick Chubb at 6,600. Again, I mean, this guy, he's a top five running back in the league, I think we'd say at this point, right? I mean, what?
Top three.
Cook, McCaffrey, Kamara, those are, and Henry. So he's definitely in the top five with those guys.
If you're asking me, I would have him, Kamara, and Henry as the top three. Mm-hmm. Like, no offense to McCaffrey, they haven't won anything with him. Cook, same deal. You look at these guys, the other three guys are the main cog in offense that consistently wins games.
And then obviously his numbers would be even bigger if they did not have Kareem Hunt.
Correct.
So, but of course,
and miss all that season. I mean, you got to remember he missed like 7-8 weeks.
Which to that point, since returning from injury, 9 straight games with at least 14.4 points. In those 9 games, he's gone over 100 total yards 7 times. He scored a touchdown in 8 of them. So just super consistent production. Obviously, we know he can go off for the 20-point games. And then the Chiefs, this is the game plan for the Browns, attacking the Chiefs. Chiefs are 22nd against backs on DraftKings, 25th on ESPN. They've had 6 games where they've allowed backs to go over 120. Now, that's collectively backs, but still 4 times over 150. And then even if they do take the lead, they give up more receptions and yards than anyone else in the NFL to running backs. And while that would especially probably help out Kareem Hunt, it's worth noting that over the last 7 weeks, Hunt and Chubb actually have the same number of receptions. Now, Chubb does have more targets. Hunt has more targets. Yeah. Chubb has actually caught every single target thrown his way for the last 7 weeks, so that's a little bit fluky. But the point is, he is generally starting to see a little more work in the passing game. I don't obviously, considering his talent, even if they're losing, he's going to see a fair amount of snaps. Again, the Chiefs have been susceptible to that. And if things go their way, if they can get lucky and take an early lead again, that just means all the more for Nick Chubb.
I mean, I had him last week. I said I didn't understand the price. With Henry out, he is, in my opinion, unquestionably the best back left in the playoffs. He's not the most expensive. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
I mean, I get Kamara, although that Tampa Bay defense is really good against running backs. So that's a strength for strength one, which is kind of like, to me, save, what, $1,300 and take Nick Chubb.
I actually think Breeze has a chance to have a breakout. Tampa Bay is so bad against the pass that even with Breeze not being able to, you know, really throw the ball downfield, I expect Thomas to have it. And that's why Kamara, I think, is also still a very safe play. I think he's still going to catch a bunch of passes.
Oh, and I forgot. Kansas City on Football Outsiders, rush defense DVOA, they are 31st in the NFL. Only New England was worse, which is kind of an interesting one.
I may regret now not having my other pick for my low tier here, but I'm probably going with Mahomes in almost every lineup. I'm going to have Kelce or Hill in almost every lineup with him. So I went low on running backs. And you're going to see I have 2 low receiving options too when we get to the flex and the wide receiver. But Cam Akers, who we both have, is my more expensive one at 5,700 at Green Bay. It was arguably the best play last week. That was Joe's pick of Cam Akers. I think he's still maybe the best play this week at the price. He's on a team that we know is going to run. He's had at least 16 touches in 5 straight games. He's had 124 total touches in that 5-game stretch. In his last 6 games, he's averaging 17 points per game. And like last week, the Rams are going to need to rely on their defense and the run game to pull off back-to-back upsets. The Packers have been better against the run lately, but most of that stems from their offense getting out to big leads early in games. They're a team that gave up at least 100 yards on the ground in 8 of their 16 games. They've allowed 2 touchdowns or more to running backs in 6 games. In their last 4 games, the Packers gave up 22 receptions to running backs. and had 11 games in which a running back caught five or more passes. Akers has six receptions in his last two games for almost 100 yards receiving. Like with Mahomes above, he's one of my favorite plays, this one at running back. I don't know how you cannot have Akers at 5,700, at least in a majority of your lineups.
Yeah, I think you're more or less insane not to put him in. I mean, at that price, 5,700. And then, yeah, again, Green Bay, this is what you do to attack that defense. They're, you know, they're a pretty good pass defense. Jair Alexander is a all-pro type player. So I think they're going to have trouble moving the ball in the passing game, which they've been having trouble even against lesser defenses. So Akers is the play. Like you said, the amount of touches he's getting since Henderson went down especially is just out of control. And yeah, Green Bay 24th on DraftKings against running backs. On ESPN, they're 28th. I know on adjusted line yards and Football Outsiders, which tries to just look at like the offensive line versus the defensive line, the Rams are 7th. So this is kind of like trying to take back's skill out of it. The Rams have the 7th best run game, and the Packers are 23rd. So that's a clear mismatch there, and it's going to be the game plan. I'm just kind of lost as to how he's still under 6,000. That's the part that confuses me. I like him more than J.K. Dobbins this week, who's 300 more. I mean, I think he's pretty much equal to me with Aaron Jones.
I was going to say, I like him more than Aaron Jones this week.
Like, yeah, and he's $1,100 cheaper, so...
Because with Jones, you know Williams is going to get some carries. They have pretty much made Akers the bell cow.
And a much tougher defense to run on.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think there's a real argument that he's the number three running back this week, and...
You're getting him for nothing.
It's 2,000 plus cheaper than Kamara and almost 1,000 cheaper than even Nick Chubb, who I really like. So, yeah, to me, he's in every single lineup I'm playing this week.
So my other running back I know is also one of your flexes. I got Devin Singletary at 4,500 versus the Ravens. I was so close to pulling the trigger on Hunt. I still like that play.
He's right there, too, for me.
He's 4,800. He's only 300 more. You need to look at that in games that they've scored 30 or more points. I think he's averaging like 18 points per game fantasy-wise in those games. He's done very well in games that they've gotten behind early because he catches more passes. But it's really all about touches. And, you know, Moss is out the rest of the season – or, excuse me, the rest of the playoffs. Because of that, Singletary is going to be the featured back the rest of the way for the Bills. We had three games this year where Moss missed in the regular season. Singletary had 38 points in that three-game span. Fantasy-wise, he averaged in those games 14 carries, 50 yards, 3.3 catches for 25 yards. I mean, if you think about it, that's double digits right there. If he just does what he did in the three, you know, games there, he's only $4,500. And again, he's a featured back, bell cow, if you will, in a high-powered offense. It gives you the potential to score a lot more than that at 4,500. That's why I had him as my official play over Hunt. And I do like him a little bit more than Hunt because I actually think he may have a higher ceiling than Hunt this week, which sounds crazy because you just talked about how bad the Chiefs are against the defense. But again, Singletary is going to get all the carries where if you're Hunt, you got to contend with Chubb. He had two touchdowns last week and only scored like 17 points.
Yeah, I think, to me, I had the same line of thinking and why I ultimately have Singletary as a flex and not Hunt. And that's just, he's going to see the snaps. You know, like you said, he was getting a lot of snaps in those 3 weeks where Moss was out. He was.
It was over 90% in two of the games and I think like 67 in the other.
Yeah. And then Baltimore, pretty good run defense. But the one thing with them is if you can get past the initial line, they've actually been pretty susceptible to big runs. They're 25th in open field yards, according to Outsiders. So, if they can open a hole, if you can do some misdirection with Allen, then he can hit a big one. And if you get a 40-yard touchdown or something, you're fucking set right there. So, and again, that's a game where I could see that game playing out in a million different directions.
Yep.
So I just like that he's going to be the guy no matter what.
And I think it's important to say, too, that Moss was the goal line back most of the second half of the season. So Singletary has not been getting those options. Not saying he's a great, you know, back in the red zone, but just getting those opportunities is more likely he scores a touchdown and obviously has a better game. Moving on to the receivers, I'm not going to have Kelce on here. Luckily you do, so you can talk about him. But I got Tyreek Hill at 8,000 again. Mahomes and Hill, Mahomes and Kelce. You know, a lot of people are going to say that he'll struggle down the stretch over the last four games. And I mean, this is what I love is struggling. He had 19 catches for 245 yards and two touchdowns, because before that he had 68 catches for 1,031 yards and 12 touchdowns in his first 11 games. But he still had 34 targets over those four games. He still averaged over 17 points per game in those four games. And the Browns are a defense that faced the Bengals twice, Washington, the Colts, the Raiders, the Eagles, the Jaguars, the Titans, the Giants, and the Jets. That is 10 of their opponents this year. They faced the Texans in a windstorm, which you talked about earlier. Yet they still give up almost 15 receptions to wide receivers, 189 yards per game, and 23 touchdowns. This secondary is vulnerable. They've given up multiple touchdowns to wide receivers in 8 of their 17 games. Some of the stat lines just down the stretch that, again, this is not Tyreek Hill, and they're going to be facing Tyreek Hill this week. Corey Davis had 11 catches for 182 yards and a touchdown. Ooh. Colin Johnson had 4 catches for 92 yards and a touchdown. Jamison Crowder had 7 catches for 94 yards and a touchdown. And Juju Smith-Schuster had last week 13 catches for 157 yards and 2 touchdowns. These performances were just in the last 6 games that the Browns played. No offense to any of those guys. None of them are anywhere near the talent that Tyreek Hill is, and they don't have Patrick Mahomes throwing it to them. Hill has, in his 5 playoff games, 43 targets, 26 receptions, 327 yards, and 3 touchdowns. I think Hill is in for a huge game. I expect him to have at least 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. I think this is a just boom performance for Hill. He's had 2 weeks off to rest. I know he's had some issues down the stretch with injuries. I expect him to be electric. I expect Mahomes to be electric. I expect the narrative to be coming out of this weekend, holy crap, the Chiefs are going to kill everybody and win back-to-back Super Bowls.
Absolutely none of that would surprise me. Like I said, I think the Browns are just totally going to be overmatched defensively in this game. I believe on PFF, Tyreek Hill is the biggest advantage wide receiver versus corner this week. They don't have him matching up against Denzel Ward. I think they currently have him projected to be out, but I think Ward is probably going to play. But even if that happens, like, again, Mahomes is going to have time. And
that's not good when Tyreek Hill is
on. Yeah, with Tyreek Hill's speed, you know, even a guy like Ward is going to have a lot of issues. My top guy, though, who's really been a pod favorite this year. Yeah, Stephon Diggs at 7,300. I like both of our picks more than Devontae Adams at 8,600. Oh, yeah. Far be it for me to doubt Devontae, but again, he's facing Jalen Ramsey. And even if he's not matched up against Ramsey, Darius Williams is really good. John Johnson is one of the best safeties in the league. That defense is fantastic. So I think the blow-up potential is just higher with Hill and Diggs. I mean, Diggs, just so fucking consistent. Every game over 10 points. His last 5 has just been truly insane, averaging 29.6. And that average is thrown way down because of that Miami game. Where I think he only played the first half. He might have seen a couple snaps in the third.
Did play the first half. I'm most positive.
And 7 catches for 76 yards in the first half. So 14.6. So still a solid game. Every other game last 5 weeks, at least 27.8 points. He's just been out of his mind. And while the Ravens have a good defense, what I really like is the Ravens play man defense. It's the second most in man defense in their coverages. Diggs leads the NFL in targets, catches, and receiving yards against man defenses. is a 36% target share when facing man. So I don't see how this isn't a double-digit target game for him. I mean, if they're winning, they're going to throw to him. If they're losing, he's going to get the ball even more. They lead the NFL in passes on first downs. Brian Daboll understands you win with the passing game when you have a good one. And again, the man defense stuff, that just to me puts him over the top for this week. He's my number one overall receiver this week. I think Tyreek Hill is a very close number two for me.
A couple of things, too, just from last week. A, Josh Allen was very, very impressive last week, I thought. He obviously had the one, you know, sack where he held on to the ball too long and fumbled it. I mean, I think the Bills take that because, you know, he's somebody that he's going to stand in the pocket and he's going to try to kill you downfield. And occasionally that's going to happen when you do it. And all you need to be reminded of how explosive Diggs is as a receiver with Josh Allen. He had done nothing through three quarters in that game. And the next thing you know, he had 27 points. So, again, you can't go wrong with Diggs. You can't. And especially at this price we talked about last week, he's been – well, but, I mean, Diggs is even more consistent. Like, Hill has, you know, a bigger boom potential, but Diggs has just been so consistent.
That's why I don't understand why he's so much cheaper than Adams or Hill. It doesn't make any sense to me. But
I agree. I think maybe – I don't know. Maybe it's per se. Yeah, absolutely.
And again, when people are looking on DraftKings and if they only see that opposition rank, they're going to see Baltimore is fifth. Because, again, they are a good pass defense, but, I mean, Diggs has beaten every defense that he's played this year. And, like I said, against man, that just means Josh Allen's looking for him even more.
Again, though, remember that AFC Central schedule. It's weak. I mean, it is weak. You know, I just listed the quarterbacks that the Browns have faced. The Ravens faced a lot of those same teams, the Jets, the Giants. They've had an easy schedule, and even the Ravens, you can look, there has been some teams that have had some success throwing it against them. Again, because I'm giving an expensive quarterback, an expensive receiver, I got to go down. I got Marquez Valdes-Scantling as my other receiver at 3,800 versus the Rams. He's quietly had a very good second half of the season. Since week 9, he scored 17 or more points in 4 of his 7 starts. He has 5 of his 6 touchdowns on the season in that time period and is averaging just under 5 targets a game during that span. Most importantly, he will not be covered by Jalen Ramsey for the most of the game. He will not be the main attention of the Rams defense. And I expect Rodgers to find a way to play well. He's been so good this year that I would be absolutely shocked in Lambeau if he has a dud. Like, I just would. I mean, he's thrown multiple touchdowns in practically every game. And I just, again, the Rams' number one priority is going to be take away Devontae Adams. Rodgers has the talent to where, whether it's Scantling or Lazard, and I do like, you know, one of those two guys. I'm not, you know, my pick is Valdes-Scantling. I think it's more likely that he goes off, but I do think either Lazard or Scantling ends up having a really big game. And I mean, I'm talking about a 15 to 20 point game. They're both dirt cheap. I like Scantling more, but I don't hate either one of them.
Yeah. I think Adams' price against Jalen Ramsey just doesn't make sense to me. So, yeah, again, if you want to go with Rodgers and roll the dice against that defense, I don't think that's a crazy idea considering it's Aaron Rodgers, the MVP of the league at under 7,000. And if you do that, I think that's the move is – Take a guess as to whether it's going to be Scantling or Lazard.
No, I might even, if I do that, play both of them and then load up at the other positions.
Yeah, which, again, would not be my move. I think stick with Mahomes or Mayfield, but I don't think it's a crazy idea. And obviously, when we're talking about those guys, you can throw them into any lineup you want if you want to save money. And absolutely, they can potentially go off. Especially Valdes-Scantling has been the guy to go off. He catches 2 passes for 2 touchdowns and 80 yards. My lower tier guy is Emmanuel Sanders at 4,500. One of the things I like about this is he did absolutely nothing last week, mm-hmm. which I think, you know, if people are going to get scared off by that, I like it. The previous 5 weeks, he had at least 5 targets every week. Week 17, he saw 13. So it's not like he's just some guy who's being ignored in this offense. And you know, as you've mentioned, that Tampa Bay defense has shown they're unable to stop the pass far too often. Four of their last seven, they've given up 19 catches and or over 200 yards to wide receivers. The opportunity's been there. And what I really like is the last couple of weeks, we've seen opportunities for the number two receivers. Cam Sims went for 104 last week. Russell Gage went for 91 in week 17. So I think they're really going to be keying in on Michael Thomas to try and stop him. And that's going to open up opportunities for Sanders or even one of the other Saints receivers. But to me, if you're playing a Saints receiver here, go with the guy who's been the consistent number two in that offense. Because I think there's better, you know, just all in all, just lottery ticket plays than anyone else on that Saints roster once you go below him. Because, again, I think those Chiefs guys, you can take lottery picks on them. I think Rashard Higgins is a reasonable shot because, again, I think Baker's going to be thrown all over the place. But
maybe I like Sanders if he's healthy.
I think he's going to get that at least five or six targets, where a lot of these other guys, I have no idea.
Completely agree, and I do have Michael Thomas in my flex, so we'll get to him in a minute. Against that Tampa Bay secondary, the tight ends like the quarterbacks. We have the same guys. It's so funny that you talked about coming off bad games because Mark Andrews at 5,000 at Buffalo, he's coming off back-to-back games where he didn't reach double-digit points. This is coming after five straight double-digit games. I think this will mean his percentage on rate will be lower this week. Mm. But you should not be discouraged by that. He still had 13 targets over those two games. He's averaged 7 targets per game since his return from COVID. And if you did not watch the Bills game last week versus the Colts, they had issues against tight ends. The Colts trio of tight ends, 14 catches on 16 targets for 136 yards and a touchdown. If you exclude the Patriots game, over their last 6 games, that defense has given up 2 tight ends, 47 receptions for 487 yards and 3 touchdowns. I think there's a good chance this game is a shootout, which Andrews obviously would benefit from. And if the Ravens fall behind and are forced to pass, Andrews is obviously going to benefit from that as well because he's one of Lamar's favorite weapons in the pass game. I really like Andrews a lot this week. I don't even hate you playing him as flex. And the other guy we got below is your tight end. Joe, you got anything you want to add on Andrews? Because I know he's also your one of your two plays.
Not much. I mean, again, like you said, teams have found very consistent success, especially better tight ends. Waller went off. Gesicki went off twice.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see any reason to believe he won't have a good game this week. You know, Marquise Brown has been playing really well. But to me, if you had the choice between those two guys this week, and I believe Andrews is cheaper as well. So if you have the choice there, I would take Andrews every time. This is a week where, I mean, I have a tight end in my flex, but I think you could take the two guys that we have here and put one of them in your flex and just save money. I think it's a good week to use the tight end as a flex just because I think there's 3 really good matchups for good tight ends.
Why don't you go ahead, since I talked about Andrews. Austin Hooper's our other guy, 3,800 versus Kansas City.
And Austin Hooper is a guy who is peaking at the right time.
Four
straight games, at least 13.7 points, at least 5 targets. 2 of those games over 11 or more targets.
Yeah, so he's averaging 9 targets a game during that span.
Right. It's just super consistent production, which he was moving towards early in the year. Then he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
When he came back, there were a few weeks where I know I threw him in and he wasn't getting it done. But now he seems to really just have that chemistry with Baker,
and he had that great season last year. People forget that with the Falcons.
And again, the Chiefs, they're gonna have to be throwing a lot of passes, and the Chiefs have proven you can score on them with your tight ends. I mean, like Waller, week 11, 9 catches, 103 yards, 2 touchdowns. Gesicki had a big game. They had over 100 yards, 2 touchdowns in that one. Last week, Chargers, 6 receptions, 89 yards, touchdown on the tight end. Like, this is the weakness because they've been pretty good against wide receivers this season. I think on DraftKings, they're like 2nd against a wide receiver.
They are.
So to me, Hooper is the play more than anyone else in that offense. And again, we really like Mayfield.
1,000%, I was going to say, if you play Mayfield and stack him with him.
And then one of the fantasy football guys on Outsiders. This is what he had to say about this. He said, never in the history of fantasy football have I been more hyped up about a tight end heading to the divisional round of the playoffs. But Austin Hooper has a strong case as one of the best DFS plays for the upcoming weekend. Like, he is fucking set for a big game. And again, at 3,800, I would take him over Tanyan this week. I think he's the clear number three tight end, and he's $1,200 cheaper than Andrews. And
I would rather have him less than Cooper Kupp or Robert Woods.
Yeah, I would rather have him than any wide receiver on the Rams, honestly.
Any number two receiver on any team, not the Chiefs. I mean, he's up there. He's going to get targets. He's got a great matchup.
Again, if you pair him with Mayfield, that's 9,100. You have over $40,000 left for the rest of your lineup.
For six positions. They,
at least in one or two of mine, that's going to be the play, and I'm just going to load up everywhere else.
Joe talked about the Chiefs defense and how they struggle with tight ends. It's been all year. They've given up 100 yards or more to tight ends in four games, 80 or more in six games, nine games with six or more receptions. And then over the last month, 31 targets, 23 receptions, 284 yards, and three touchdowns. I think the Browns are going to be down. I expect them to be throwing. Hooper will benefit if that's the case. But do not forget, he had 11 targets last week in a game that the Browns were up 28 in the first half. So he is a part of their offense now.
Yeah,
so
that's a good point.
He's matchup proof. Moving on to the flex, you know, you talked about Sanders. Michael Thomas at 6,700, I think, may be the guy that is the lowest priced of anybody, in my opinion, for the matchup he has, you know, the target share he gets.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 6,700. Since week 11, 2 weeks after Thomas returned from injury, he has scored 22.4, 9.7, 22.4, 16.5, and 18.3 points. In his first game against Tampa Bay in week 9, which was his first game of the season, he still managed to have five catches for 51 yards and six targets. This was a game the Saints won 38-3, so they were not exactly throwing a lot. The Bucs secondary is one that I have picked on frequently the second half of the NFL season. They had seven games where they gave up 180 yards or more to wide receivers. They gave up 18 touchdowns. And just last week, Cam Sims had seven catches for 104 yards with a four-string quarterback. Thomas is unquestionably the primary target of Breeze. The Bucs secondary sucks. And, I mean, honestly, it's Mahomes, Akers, and Thomas are my three favorite plays this week. I just think that they're guaranteed to get a certain amount of points. Like, I think Thomas will get at least 15. I think Akers will get at least 10. I expect Mahomes to get at least 20. And they all have potential to have huge breakout games. And honestly, I think they're all underpriced.
Yeah, again, worth noting that Taylor Heinicke just kind of roasted this defense last week.
They're so bad against the pass. They were so bad. The key with Tampa Bay is,
if you can protect, then you can beat their defense because they have a good pass rush. But, you know, the
Saints. You got to remember, Thomas is not somebody running way down the field. It's somebody Breeze is going to hit with a lot of short passes. I could see him having 9-10 receptions in this game.
And then worth remembering, because I think we kind of forget just because he's been so banged up, and then they've had Taysom Hill for like four games. This is a guy who was setting records last year. He was the best receiver in football, or at least the most productive.
So, he has arguably the best hands in football and might be the best route runner.
Yeah, he's up there for both. So again, 6,700. So hard to argue against that one. I'm going all the way up at 7,800 for my guy, and that's Travis Kelce. Again, the one tight end who's just insanely consistent. One game below 10 points all year. And, I mean, the last four games, he's averaging over 25 points. He's had at least 10 targets in all four. I mean, looking at his freaking thing. Since that six-point game against Denver in week 7, he's had at least 7 receptions in every game. And that was week 16 against Atlanta. Every other game, he had at least 8.
If you watch the Chiefs games, it looks like whenever they want, they can complete a pass to Kelce. Like, literally whenever they want. It
certainly feels that way watching. And then Cleveland, not set up to stop this. 30th on DraftKings against tight ends. ESPN concurs with the 30th ranking. So they're the worst defense against tight ends that is left in these playoffs. I guess, well, Kansas City, according to DraftKings, is one worse. So they're right there. Again, 31st.
Cooper Kelce is also a great play.
Cooper is against the 31st. Andrews is against the 29th. And Kelce is against the 30th. On ESPN, they think the Browns are the worst. So this is just a fantastic matchup for a guy who sees 10-plus targets every week. And like you said, it's not like if you can get the ball to Travis Kelce, he's not dropping those passes. Like,
nope.
He's getting it done. Again, I'm all in on this game. Make sure you have at least two guys, and I would argue for more from this Chiefs Browns game, because I think
I've thought about doing a lineup with predominantly like all
just them almost. Yep. Yeah, like put Cam Akers in, and then build a Chiefs Browns lineup around that. I'm all in on that plan.
The other guy I'm gonna give for flex. I went back and forth on a bunch of guys. If Landry wasn't so expensive, I was going to list him. You need to look at Landry, though. I did not realize how many points he scored the last, I think it's like 6 or 7 weeks. I think it's at least 16 points in every game. I mean, he has been really impressive. But AB at 5,400 versus New Orleans, he scored in 4 straight games, has 31 targets in that period. In his first game, which is his first game of the season on a new team, he had 3 catches for 31 yards on 5 targets versus the Saints. And the Saints consistently have struggled with slot receivers. So because of that, I think Brown is arguably the best play because of the price on a team that has been throwing really well lately. And the Saints are the toughest team in the league to run on. You also have to complete quick passes. I think the Saints had 6 sacks in their 2 games versus the Bucs. I expect more short and underneath. Godwin is also a guy I really like this week, but he's just so much more expensive. Give me AB at 5,400 versus the Saints.
Yeah, and again, you know, my lower tier guy was Singletary, so I'll just add to some of the wide receiver stuff. I just want to go through here with the wide receiver corner advantage for the wide receiver on PFF. So number one is Tyreek Hill, the biggest advantage against MJ Stewart. Again, that would go down if Ward plays, but still, it's Tyreek Hill. Michael Thomas is 4th against Carlton Davis. Diggs is 6th against Marcus Peters. And the other 3 guys sprinkled between those guys are all the Tampa Bay wide receivers, which is mostly just because all 3 of those wide receivers are good. It's not like the Saints have an awful defensive backfield. And I think if you're a Bucs believer, the biggest argument probably is that the first game, Antonio Brown's not there. He's not on the team. Second game, it's his first week. You know, this group is healthier than I think they've been all season, probably. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where the opportunity comes in. And Marshawn Lattimore has had pretty good success for the most part against Mike Evans. So even though Evans has been the guy who's really been going off lately, I would be looking at Brown and Godwin this week if you're going to buy into Tampa Bay having offensive success.
And we discussed this last week. They did not really start throwing the ball on first down, that is the Bucs, until week, I think it was 13.
Should always be doing.
That exactly, but that was after they had played the Saints twice. That obviously makes it easier for the Saints to get a pass rush because it's hard to run on the Saints, so you're looking at a lot of 2nd and 10s, you know, 3rd and 8s. I have a feeling that this is going to be potentially actually a shootout. I don't think that the
I could
Bucs,
see it going either way.
I can too. The reason I think it could be a shootout is if the Bucs are actually offense shows up, but it's, you know, it's going to be something if they shut them down again. It really is. But we just saw the Rams defense honestly kind of shut down the Seahawks again. So, you know, who knows? The defenses
absolutely.
We're not going to spend a ton of time on the defenses. We both have the Rams at 2,800. Why don't you go ahead and say why you got the Rams?
I mean, this one's pretty simple. This is just the best defense that's not only left, but just that is in the NFL. And I think especially for this matchup. Because, again, the Steelers, they're all about getting pressure. And then if they didn't, I mean, we saw what happened last week, where Minkah Fitzpatrick is the only really plus defender in their defensive backfield. You know, the Rams, their Rams play too high safety more than anyone else in the NFL. They really try and focus on shutting down the deep pass. So that means, again, you know, it's Rodgers. It's not like he can't work his way down the field. But you look at one of my favorite stats that I've come on to is net yards per attempt, which, you know, like factors in interceptions and I believe sacks too. And yeah, they're in the top defense, 5.08 yards per attempt. And you look through, Pittsburgh was the Washington was the second best defense at 5.33. And then, like, you go up, like, some of good defenses are over 6, and they're at 5.08. This is just an elite defense. And because they're playing the Packers, they're super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's $2,600, right?
They're too cheap, though.
To me, like I said, when I'm looking through at this week, this is the game where I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of offense. Like, could I imagine the Bills or the Ravens having a good defensive game? Sure, but I have no idea which one it would be. And the same, I do kind of like the Saints because of the fact that they've kicked Tampa Bay's ass twice. But again, like we just went over, Tampa Bay is playing better offense than they have all year. And so, yeah, the only defense that's cheaper is the Browns. And Browns, I think, are going to get demolished on defense. So the fact that they're only 2,600. And then I think it's 12 times in the Super Bowl era, the number one scoring defense has played the number one scoring offense. 8 of those 12 times, the number one scoring defense won. Now, that doesn't mean I'm predicting the Rams are going to upset the Packers. But I think, you know, history has shown, when you see these games, the offense very rarely runs roughshod over the defense. So I think at 2,600, this is a really good play, especially when you look at, you know, what they did against Arizona, 20 points, Seattle, 16 last week. Like, these guys are playing at the top of their game, and so are Green Bay. But when you consider value, I like to play.
You know, can be a bad thing when you're the offense. You're gonna have a week off. The defense is coming in. Just to add to it, because I think the Rams are the play this week. I mean, we've talked about it all year. It's a crapshoot.
Yeah,
it's a crapshoot.
Save the money.
2,800. Yeah, you're getting, I think, the best defense left. Arguably, maybe the best unit left. Compared to the rest of the peers. You know, like, I mean, there's no defense anywhere close to this left. There's some, you know, several really good offenses, but over there, just the last 5 games, they have 22 sacks, 4 turnovers, 3 touchdowns. I would not be shocked if the Rams dominate the Packers. And with their pass rush, there's a good chance they get enough sacks to where even if the Packers end up scoring points, they can end up doing a positive. Again, they've scored 3 touchdowns in their last 5 games. They do that. They're pretty much set.
Worth mentioning, which I forgot to say, is Bakhtiari's out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He's out for the season. So that's the best left tackle, at least the best pass-blocking left tackle in the NFL is out. And I know, I think week 17, Billy Turner played, and he had a 44.3 grade on PFF. So you're knocking out the best lineman on this team. And Green Bay, still, the rest of their line is pretty good. But, yeah, it only takes one guy whiffing on a block.
Yep.
So, with the value, I really like that play.
So, there's 2 other defenses that I think we agree. There's basically 3 defenses we really like. And, again, it's a crapshoot. We know any defense can end up scoring the most points.
If you've got a gut play,
do it.
Well, you know, you can
ignore them. The cheaper they are, the better, too.
Yeah.
The Saints at 3,300 is mine. I mean, 2 games versus Tampa Bay. They've given up a combined 26 points. They forced 4 turnovers, 6 sacks, a defensive touchdown. Again, defense is a crapshoot, and you're telling me that I know I have a defense that has given an offense fits.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
No, absolutely. You know, again, yeah, if you're a believer in Tampa Bay, ignore that pick. But it's hard to argue with 2 games where they've just – I mean, I figured the first game was going to be kind of a fluke. It was Brady's first game, blah, blah, blah. And then they were better in the second game against the Bucs.
They manhandled them up front both games.
So I like that one, obviously. And then at 3,900, I mean, the argument against Green Bay is obviously that they are the most expensive defense. But I think, you know, with some of the values out there, I think you could probably find it to spend the 3,900. The one downside for Green Bay is they only have 11 interceptions on the year, which is obviously not ideal. But they've still managed two defensive touchdowns on that. And I think the 11.
They haven't played Jared Goff either.
They have not played Jared Goff or John Wolford, because I don't even think we still don't know who it'll be. I would assume, since Goff was able to play and it's been another week, that it'll be him. But, I mean, yeah, this is not a Rams offense that's firing on all cylinders. You know, they scored 30 points last week, but that was with a pick six. They haven't gone over 334 total yards since week 13. So it's been over a month since they've managed even 350 yards. This is not an offense that's moving that well. Again, I do like Akers, but I think Alexander can take away Robert Woods. Cup hasn't really been going off in a while. You're either playing a backup QB or an injured QB. You know, I think this is a good opportunity for Green Bay to really just shut them down. And again, I think they might need to, because, you know, this is probably a game where it's a race to 20 points, I kind of feel like. Whoever gets, well, only one team's going to get there.
If the Rams go into Green Bay and win, I'm going to have some serious, like, 2007 Giants.
That's right, baby. You know, yeah. Aaron Rodgers has, never hosted an NFC championship.
I'm rooting for a Brady versus Rodgers NFC championship in Lambeau. I mean, it's a football fan. I don't know how you can't root for that.
That would be fun.
I mean, it would. And especially if you get, like, say, Mahomes versus Allen or Mahomes versus Jackson. That's a fantastic conference championship weekend. But we are going to do the backdoor cover Friday. I think, Joe, you're going to be able to come on so you can do your picks and continue to kick Allen's ass.
That's right. I got to hold on to this lead. You sent me your picks. I'll tell you that we definitely have some disagreements. So I'm excited.
You got anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
No, I'm good. I'm just
long car rides suck.
Long car rides suck. Thank God for Spotify. Otherwise, I don't know how I would do it. So shout out to Spotify. You're doing a great job.
Yeah, and you can listen to this podcast as well as other podcasts on the IB Network on Spotify. Just this last week, I mean, we had a bunch of podcasts. Last week, we had the Team Turnbuckle, the wrestling podcast, the Mod Pod, which is Alan's very good political podcast. Me and RC did a preview of the wildcard games this last week, and we'll be doing one for the Divisional.
Yeah, I'm excited to see if RC and I are on the same page again, because hopefully.
It was kind of eerie, like, doing podcasts 2 days apart with y'all, because, I mean, so much of what y'all said was the same. And I even joked when he, you know, made the picks he did, I was like, crap, you know, I don't like it when the two intellectuals are going one way and me and Alan are going the other. But hopefully we have another good week. I really was happy with the picks last week. Again, I'm all in on the Chiefs, the Browns. I think you agree. And, you know, definitely. Pick your lineups, take your shots. These are the weeks that you can do it, because there's not as many plays. But, Joe, I enjoyed it. But for Keith Fleming, Joe Matz, and another edition of the Weekly Daily Fantasy Football Podcast, sadly, the third to last podcast of the year for us, but it's been a good one, and we'll talk soon, Joe.
Later.